classical music to get us started. You know, the thing is, not only do you have to hit the right keys, the right buttons, and all this other stuff, but you also have to plug the correct cables in. So that's why a little late here with the music going on so long. Sorry about that. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is supposed to be here tonight. He may or may not show up. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer, and this is North Shore Sports Night for a Monday night. We are approaching, and fast approaching, August, of course, and that means we're getting ready for football, the MSO football team getting ready here. We have, we've been broadcasting football since 2005. Our first broadcast was actually live streaming audio on Thanksgiving Day 2005. It was Gloucester against Danvers, and I remember it was in the cold rain. It was in the upper 30s, some snow flurries, but some really cold sleet and rain. And that was our first broadcast, so we've been doing this since 2000. Was that 2005? 2004. That was 2000. Yeah, 2005, because it's an odd year. So that was the beginning, and we've been doing it ever since. And we have a bunch of games, probably 25, 30 more football games scheduled for this coming fall, some high school games throughout the area. And we have many, many, many live streaming video games as well. We are working on going to a two-camera shoot, which would be fun. Should be fun to watch. And Andrew Nicastro, of course, our streamographer, working with Alex Sanfilippo, among others, getting ready to do that. The two-camera shoot should really add a lot. Plus, we'll be we hope to be adding a football show on during the week, a live. Well, it will be recorded live. That sounds silly, but it'll be a video football show. We help to do it. We hope to do. Is that going to fit in there? Oh, my. That ain't going to fit in there. I don't know about that. Well, I'll find a place for it. Kearns has arrived, so we're just talking about our proposed football schedule, which is here somewhere. We got some changes to make in it, of course, and Bill and I will be working on that. But that's coming up soon. It's only, Coach, that's only about 4 weeks away, and that's incredible that summer is flying by this fast. Now, you don't have to worry about it because... you ain't going anywhere now. You don't have to worry about...
No, I don't have to worry about showing up the first day of school.
Yeah, take a mic. Yeah. So, we're working on that. We have other things in the plans, but we hope to have, as I said, a real big video component this year with football, along with our video show. I'm not sure it's going to be a preview show as much as it will be some kind of... let me turn this down here so you don't... As much as it will be an information show with interviews and so on, but, you know... we will be putting that together soon and letting you know when that will get started. Hopefully that'll be started just before football season gets underway.
No, it would be very useful if you started at the beginning of hockey.
Well, we could. You never know. Wouldn't be the first time we've messed things up. I guess I should turn some lights on in here as well. So tonight we have it's a thin interview schedule, but that's okay. We'll get plenty of information out. We will be talking to a couple of our regulars, plus Matt Sullivan. Sully is what do I want to call it? He's the webmaster of the North Shore Baseball League. He's also the manager of the North Shore Storm, I believe it is, and the playoffs just about ready to get underway in the North Shore Baseball League. I think there's maybe one or two regular season games left, or one or two teams left, I should say, to play a regular season game. So we'll talk to Matt Sullivan. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, we'll see what the update is there. Also talk to our regulars, Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, about things going on. I want to ask Gary about one or two of his books as well, what it took to put them together, what his favorite things are about doing that. And then we'll also chat with Nick Kukru, who is home from vacation. I don't know that he went anywhere. You know, if you live in this area, Coach, you live on the shore, sometimes... we don't go anywhere for vacation because this in the summertime is about as good as it gets.
Why would you? People come here to vacation.
As I like to say, if I didn't live here, I could not afford to vacation here. So we stay here.
In the early 80s, I lived in Nahan at Bass Point Apartments, which were it was to the gate. It had a security entry. There were a small number of units sat on the spit of land. One side was on the Lynn Harbor side, and the other was Ocean side, and I was on the Ocean side. And we wouldn't leave on weekends. You come home Friday night
couldn't get there from here anyway.
And it was like you crossed the Nahant Causeway, mm-hmm. and it was like going to a resort.
Sure.
You know, Nahant's an island, about maybe 4,500 residents. And especially at Bass Point, we had a pool, a clubhouse, tennis courts, a spectacular moonlight shining into the little cove on which my apartment was situated. It's like, why do you want to go anywhere else?
And your teachers complain about money?
Oh, no, this is when I was working for UPS. This is when I was making good money.
Okay, yeah. That explains it then. Yeah. No, I tell you, we love here. We're living on the coast, and we never take it for granted. And I am teaching, I'm back teaching, I'm a professional development partner with Endicott College, and I'm teaching a course. I'm not teaching, I'm just sort of running a course right now, hosting a course with a bunch of teachers from all over. And we're at the Endicott Extension down on Commercial Street in Gloucester, which is right on the waterfront. And it's just, you know, you go out for a break, you go out for lunchtime, and it's just, it's the best.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And when I was younger, when I was single, I went down to the Cape once. Why would you want to fight all the traffic going to the Cape, down and back, when you live on the North Shore? You're on the same location as the Cape. You go half an hour up the coast. You're in New Hampshire to all the starting all the various resorts. I don't understand why people have this great fascination with the Cape.
No, I don't
either. Is it to get away from the North Shore and go to the South Shore where it's something different?
Well, the problem is that we have Cape Ann has become Cape Cod North now, and the traffic is just absurd on weekends. But, you know, When I was in Maui, I asked the Hawaiians.
Oh, talk about tough living.
Well, honeymoon.
Oh, okay.
And I asked, tough living, don't I wish? I asked the locals, where do they go, you know, on vacation, right? And you know what they answered? They answered, like, Alaska, Los Angeles, Boston, New York. So they, you know, just something different.
Kansas City.
I hadn't heard that one. Missouri or
yeah.
Or Kansas.
Not that far away from each other. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so anyway, Coach, let's get some things out of the attic here. I don't know where to start. We're going to talk a little bit about Gloucester Little League. I've tried and tried and tried to get people on with respect to their being close to Gloucester Little League, but their run unprecedented. They got to be the, as far as being the second best Little League team in the state of Massachusetts, and that's not too shabby.
You know, before I start, I come into that, I have to compliment Jean DePlacido from the Salem News.
Trying to get a hold of her, yeah.
Her tweets were so cool.
Play-by-play.
She couldn't be there. You know, it was like trying to keep up. And I'm telling my friends, yeah, Gloucester's good God. They're down 6-1. Now it's 6-4. Oh, now it's 9-6. Now it's 9-7. And it's like, holy Moses. It's like you're scrolling down and the score is changing literally on the fly. And, you know, they ran into a very hot Holden team. I mean, it was a tough game the first time that they played them on Friday, and it was as tough a game, obviously a little bit tougher on Sunday. You know, they scored 9 runs, but you got to give Holden credit. They came out bashing the ball right away and set a tone in the first 2 innings. But
well,
nothing to be ashamed of.
No, and again, you know, they went as far as they went further than any other team has ever gone from Gloucester anyway.
Yep.
So congratulations to those kids. All right, we got other stuff to talk about. Apparently, the Red Sox picked up a reliever today, and I have to ask you a question before we check in with Matt Sullivan, Sully, as he's called. Do we care? And if we do, why do we care about what goes on a Red Sox trip between or among the players and the broadcasters? Do we care? And why is it still an issue weeks and weeks later? I'm not sure I understand that. Two guys have a row, or a row, I guess they call it, when we're teaching. All right, two guys have a row when we're teaching. We don't go talking about it weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks later. It either is settled or it isn't. But what's the deal?
I think part of it is media today. The other part is it was not dealt with by the team. You know, prices that they're talking about it today on one of the radio shows, one of the more sane ones at noontime. And they were saying Eck was on the 18-game road trip in the aftermath of that incident. And not once did David Price make an attempt. Okay,
I get that. I'm aware of all of that.
There was nothing on.
But my question is, who cares? Why do we care? If two security guards have a row at Fenway Park, you know, 3 weeks later, and this team doesn't take it and settle it. Who cares? I'll tell you why. Because it's a $31 million man, it's Dennis Eckersley, who's a sports hero. And I don't get, I just don't get that.
It's a $31 million man who, at the way he has been playing and performing over the time that he is, the 2 years he is, year and a half that he's been here, should be paid maybe $310,000 a year.
But that's not his fault.
No, it's not. But with that big contract that the Red Sox are willing to pay him, that his agent was looking for, comes the expectation that you better put up. And if you're not putting up, then you're going to be liable to the criticism of the fans for not performing to expectations. Okay? And then because the announcer, you know, the color guy, looked at the way that your approach, and says, okay,
well, ostensibly, that wasn't even the issue.
He takes way too much time between pitching.
It was because he said yuck about Eddie Rodriguez.
Well, that supposedly was the first thing that came out. But then it came out, and someone told me this, is that Eckersley went, well, let's see how long it takes now.
Oh, no, I heard that. They took that out. Okay, this is what I'm talking about.
My buddy actually timed him between pitches.
Yeah, but
at one point, he took 44 seconds between pitches.
But you're making a story, not you. Boston Radio is making a story that wasn't there. They put that on there. They put all those announcements on there about that Eckersley made about Price. Price never said a word about that. So they're presuming, just like they have done many times with Tom Brady's contract, they're presuming something that is not, in fact, fact. And I don't understand that. Well, let's play ball.
You know, it was the incident has been corroborated by numerous sources that what he did.
He yelled at Eckersley. He called him out.
Not once in a plane, twice.
Okay, so Eckersley can't defend himself?
I think, I don't know if how he responded, because no one has detailed that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was caught totally off guard, not only the first time, but the second time by the tirade. And, you know, here's a guy who's underperforming for the money he's being paid. And he dresses down a Hall of Famer who has more than enough credentials to speak to a pitcher's conduct on the mound and how to be effective and how to take responsibility for how you're pitching, which Price doesn't do because it's always somebody else's fault. All right. And, you know, he hasn't. This is a guy who's making $31 million, who doesn't have a winning record this year, who Arvidas is barely .500, who hasn't won a playoff game. And this is why he was brought in. If I'm going to bring in a guy for $31 million, I'm bringing in a guy with a track record of winning playoff
games. Fine, that's not his fault. So it's not his fault he makes that money. He took the money and he ran. And people...
Yeah, he's run away.
People, that's fine. So judge him on that. Judge him on his baseball. Okay, he screws up on a plane. He makes a bone. You know, Eckersley should have punched him in the mouth. But that's between Eck and him, Eck and the team, him and... It's got nothing to do. And Boston media has done this for years and years
but it's all
he's
media.
A spoiled brat athlete. Who cares? Play ball.
It's
and here we are talking about it. I get it.
It's all sports, every team, more so Boston, Philly, New York.
The cities where
you have rabid, knowledgeable fans with expectation. Not the L.A.
fan
that fills up in the fourth inning and
leaves. How many other guys
inning?
Have won 17 games for this team in the last 10 years? How many other guys?
Maybe a handful.
Not even that. Pedro and Porcello and maybe a couple of others. Maybe.
A handful.
Maybe. So he performed last year. Did he perform to Roger Clemens and Pedro Martinez? Is that? No. But gee whiz, you know, it's like, leave it to the Red Sox. Leave it to Eckersley. If Eckersley wants to take it and quit, then he quits. He wants to go in and punch David and Price in the mouth. Do it. But, you know, I want to see these guys on the ball field. I really don't care what they do on the plane. I really don't care what somebody says up in the booth. I mean, I listened to Johnny Gomes this weekend, and it's like, really? Now, he's the exact... I mean, sure, he's loved in the room. But the other thing I rail about is the fact that you and me and Bill Newell and Marty Smith and all the sports writers in the area and Scott Cooper, we go to talk to the people. We talk to them, okay? Eck doesn't do that.
He's not a beat writer.
Neither are we.
He provides the color.
Neither are we.
We cover and we report, and he's like... But his job is to provide analysis. And we wear many hats. He wears one hat.
Yep.
He is the color now. How many times do you think Jerry Remy has been down in the Red Sox dugout interviewing guys?
According to the Red Sox, he's there quite frequently. He's in the clubhouse a lot.
You know, you never hear him talking about being down there, you know? And supposedly, has been in the clubhouse.
It's the
so
pros.
I don't know what Eck is, Price is saying about he's never down there. Maybe he doesn't talk to Price.
Well,
maybe he
doesn't also,
like Price.
It begs the fact. It begs the fact that someone is a spoiled brat and gets away with it. I mean, it's just the Red Sox, many organizations, the White House doesn't take care of things like that. So it's just I guess sports is a microcosm of bad behavior everywhere else, but it is bad behavior. But for the life of me, it's like, shut up! Tell me something about the game. Tell me something about. Tell me something about who's in the, who's on deck. Tell me something about who they have coming up. Tell me something about possibility for trade. Tell me something about the game. I couldn't care less what goes on a freaking airplane. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Anyway. It's news because it wasn't dealt with. By anybody in management, from the top all the way down to Farrell.
Yeah.
Okay. And once it got out that it had happened, and it was an intense thing, and the Pedroia's clapping on the plane, the younger players are clapping, as if in support of Price. And finally someone stood up to this guy who says, we're with this and we're that. Well, that's his job as the color guy, and he's not doing his job if he says Pedroia has been struggling lately. Mm. He's just telling it like it is. He's not saying, well, Pedroia, should be sad, should be traded away because he's not performing. No, he's in a slump, and that's
okay.
What it is.
All right, I got that out of my system. Let's talk to Matt Sullivan in just a minute here.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back with Matt Sullivan now of the North Shore Baseball League and the North Shore Storm. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so Matt, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and you guys, the playoffs should be started now, but I'm not sure they are. Bring us up to date.
So, since we last talked, a couple of rainouts here or there, so actually the schedule got pushed back a little bit. So playoffs start tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We're hoping to start them Friday, Saturday, this past weekend, but there's a few last-minute games that really mattered with the seedings and a couple teams getting in, so had to push it back to August 1st.
All right, so let's start with the opening round. Give us a little background on how the playoffs are aligned. And you have eight teams going in?
That's correct. So
okay.
We got eight teams. One seed plays the eight seed, two plays the seven, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the first round, really interesting because it's a best of three series, and pretty much every team in the league has two stud pitchers, so anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It goes first round, best of three, then the final four, or the second round is best of five, and then the finals is a, like World Series format, best of seven.
That's a cool format. I mean, it gives a real sense of competition in that your eight teams, one through eight, no matter what, as you say, if you got two good pitchers in a best of three series, then even if you're number eight, you got a pretty good chance to go into the next round.
100%. Yeah, these guys that they had bad starts at the beginning of the year, a couple of these bottom of the standing teams, they battled back, had some guys that were hurt come back, and the standings aren't a true representation of like how good a team is this year. Easily, there could be an upset or multiple upsets in the
mm-hmm.
round. It could, I wouldn't doubt, the Wings, these Saugus Wings playing the Sox, or actually Marbleheads playing the Sox. But either of those two teams, the Wings or the Seasiders, they could pull out a game, easily win two. It's really a three-game series. Anything can happen.
Yeah, that's cool, and then it gets tougher as you go along. Matt, give me a highlight or a surprise from your vantage point, either to do with your team or maybe to do with the league this year, because, you know, you guys have mentioned several times how full the rosters are, which is a good thing, and because you don't always have people available due to summer schedules and so on. But the participation level this year seems to be really excellent for you guys, for the league in general. So is there a highlight or something special that you could mention?
No. I mean, as far as highlights, we've never seen a more balanced league. And that's, you know, usually extremely top-heavy. The 1-2 seeds that just are far and away, you know, with two losses on a 24-game series, or 24-game regular season, rather.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, having a full roster, it produces a lot of challenges now. Like, there's so many kids trying to play, and you're allowed 30 guys on a roster, so... You know, some really, really talented players out there that we can't get in, and then a lot of teams like mine, even, I lose some of my guys.
Yep.
I get, you know, a great talent like Nick DiBenedetto earlier this year. He signs a free agent contract with the Baltimore Orioles.
Ooh.
So I lose my best hitter, my best shortstop, and it was a guy that, you know, I've had for three seasons before this, and now he's gone. So, you know, there's talent like that you could lose in a heartbeat. And then there's other talent you just can't get in the game because there's just not enough spots. So it's going to be probably the most interesting playoffs we've had in 10 years easy, just because it literally anything could happen.
Sully, you have the North Shore Storm and the North Shore Phillies. Where is your team, the Storm, out of, and where are the Phillies out of?
So the Storm, we play out of Peabody High School. I started the team 4 years ago. I was with the A's, the North Reading A's, 7 years before that. So I've been in the league a while. But the Storm, I was really looking for just kind of a centralized area around the North Shore and a field with lights. So Peabody High School was kind of a perfect fit for 8 o'clock games. But the Phillies, most of their guys are Lynn, Swampscott, guys over there, majority Lynn. And they play out of Reed. So they're, you know, set up with also, you know, lights, good field conditions, things like that over in Lynn. So we've had a pretty solid rivalry with those guys, and not just because we both have, you know, North Shore in front of our team names, but like they gave us the boot last year in the first round of the playoffs. And we, you know, we're one game here or there away from playing them in the first round again. But there's certain rivalries like that in the league that, you know, we'd love to face them in the second round if we get an opportunity to.
When you lose someone like Nick DiBenedetto to a contract, that has to be kind of bittersweet in that, you know, you're losing a star player for yourself, for your team, you know, your teammates. But on the other hand, you got somebody who's chasing the dream and has a shot, is going to the next level, and that has to feel good for not only you guys, but also for the league.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, it's absolutely kind of works way out like that, because, you know, I always tell my guys too, if they have an opportunity to play at a higher level, like, we're always going to be here. Like, North Shore Baseball League will be here, the Storm will be here. Like, you can always fall back on us. Like, I don't want it to seem like this is your ceiling, is playing this league. So I, you know, a guy last year wanted to play in there was a league, the Futures League, so it was just like really a shade above the North Shore Baseball League as far as taking talents to the minors and potentially getting drafted. So I had a couple guys that they want to play for the Storm just because the loyalty to the league. They got, you know, kind of a band of brothers on the roster, so they want to stick around and be part of it, but they know what's best for them is to take a shot at that next level. So it helps, you know, them get better experience in promoting the league.
Cool.
So if Nick DiBenedetto gets cut and comes back to the NSBL, you know, that's a, you know, a good look for us, because you can say, like, we have ex-MLB players that, you know, come to us.
Mm-hmm.
Sully, are you able to replace players that leave under those kind of circumstances? I know you'd like to leave the spot open in case, you know, such a scenario as you just described takes place, but are you allowed to fill and to pick up other players?
You are, but there's a big question if they're going to be playoff eligible or not. So there's minimums to actually make the playoffs, which if you don't meet, then you have to get waivers from the the board and from all the coaches that make the playoffs. So like pitchers, for instance, they have to have at least 4 games, 10 innings under their belt. Position players have to get at least 10 games, and there's no minimum on at bats, but they have to play in 10 games. So there's a lot of guys that if you pick them up halfway through the year, they need to get a lot of appearances or get in the rotation pretty quick, or else you might get them on your roster, but you can't use them in the playoffs, which is kind of pointless. So there are those replacements. Everyone kind of has some of those in their back pocket, but people really try the last 2 weeks to get a few eligibilities out of it.
Okay.
Who's where do the playoffs begin now? Do you guys have a lineup scheduled? Because I'm looking at the playoff schedule. You've got the lineup, but not the time and the places yet.
Yeah, so that's being loaded up tonight.
Okay.
It's all done. It just needs to be loaded. So we got the Sox. They're hosting tomorrow at 6:30. They're hosting Marblehead Seasiders, and that's a 6:30 game at Swampscott Middle School. The Rex versus Storm, we're playing tomorrow at 7:30, Peabody High School. Then you got the Peabody Champions and the Phillies, North Shore Phillies, at 7:45 at Twy Field in Danvers. And, Kingston is hosting the Saugus Wings at Haverhill Stadium. Sounds. I think it's an 8 o'clock start.
How come Pebbley's not hosting the game as the number 3 seed?
Who's that?
The Rex are playing at Peabody High School, your home field.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. They've had some booking issues as far as getting field availability. So
okay.
They sometimes step on our turf. It's all right. We share in our league, but it is going to be weird kind of sitting on the opposite dugout from where we usually are. So, but we know the field well, so we don't mind. It's kind of like first series are all home games for us, essentially.
All right, Matt, we'll talk to you later on, and good luck. Have fun with this stuff.
Appreciate it. Yeah, check out the website, NorthShoreBaseball.com.
Yeah, we're on it right now, and I tell you, I like to look at it. Right up front and center is the playoff schedule, so you can't miss it.
Exactly. We'll get it up there tonight.
Okay, Matt, good luck, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that is Matt Sullivan, who is the webmaster for the North Shore Baseball League. Is it NorthShoreBaseballLeague.com? It is. It's NorthShoreBaseballLeague.com. And he also is the manager of the North Shore Storm, and he's an old man, Tim. He's 29, so he's the old timer, long a tooth for him.
Well, it is. It's funny, he mentioned 2 weeks. I can't believe it was 2 weeks ago that we talked to him. Seems like last week. Is the number of guys that play late 20s into their 30s, and some guys, Mike Giardi's still playing. That if you're still in good shape, you can still continue to bring it at a pretty good level. It's really enjoyable baseball. I know when I played back in the 70s, that sounds so weird to say. It was a lot of the guys that I had played American Legion ball with that had played started in high school ball. I didn't play against a lot of them because I played out of town, but the guys that I grew up playing baseball with and guys that I had admired who were a few years older than me, and you got to see these guys from other high schools. So it's really, really good baseball. So if you have a chance in the area, check it out. And if they're passing a hat, drop a dollar or two in to help support the league.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back with Gary Larrabee. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink. At Sylvan Street, we treat you right day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Alrighty then, we are back with Gary Larrabee, golf writer, sports historian, and what's going on, Gary? Tim and I just talking like we didn't pay attention this weekend, so it's all up to you.
Well, I think we should first talk about the Francis Wieman Invitational, which was played last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Braeburn, the Country Club, and Woodland. This is the 50th anniversary tournament that, you know, recognizes, remembers Francis Wieman. All for amateurs, a lot of the top amateurs in New England competing. We had two local players who played very well. Did not win it, but both Charlie May from Topsfield and Elon College, Masconomet Regional, and Mark Turner from Bass Rocks, just finished up at St. John's Prep and played very well. Charlie was only four shots off the lead with two with the third round to go, and he slipped a little bit the third day and finished, I think, out of the top ten. But Mark finished in the top ten. I think he finished tied for sixth. So good going for Mark Turner and for Charlie May on the amateur side. I think a lot of stuff happened. On the tours over the weekend that Tim might want to chime in on. That I would like to chime in on a little bit. You know, the Asian ladies continue to dominate on the LPGA Tour with the Ladies Scottish Open. Mi Yang Li won that tournament by one shot over Mi Jung Her, another one of Tim's favorites, and Carrie Webb.
Gary, are you taking linguistics on the side? Because you do these names so well.
No, but I'm working on it. I'm always working on it, of course. On the men's side, we should first of all, I think, talk about Salem-born and Andover-bred Rob Oppenheim, who was playing in his fourth tournament in as many weeks. He had a tie for second a couple of weeks ago. He tied in the top 15 in the other two events, and this weekend he was actually leading the tournament after 2 days. That was in Overland Park, Kansas. He finished down the pack a little bit in the top 20, but that's not too bad. But he was leading the tournament after two rounds and slipped a little bit. But he is very much within reach of finishing in the top 25. I think he's 26th right now in money. And as we've said in the past, top 25 money winners after I think the tournament schedule finishes up in. I think it's in mid-September, late September. The top 25 get their tour cards, so Rob very much in the mix to regain his tour card between now and the end of September. The last big event, of course, which is leading up to the fourth and final major of the year, which is the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. That's in 2 weeks. And I think he's a South American. Jonathan Vegas won it the PGA Canadian Open for the second time. He beat Charlie Hoffman, who's been having a heck of a year without winning any tournaments, Charlie Hoffman. And that was the PGA Canadian Open.
Right. Where's Quail Hollow? Where's that?
Quail Hollow's in Charlotte, and they finished up the Canadian Open in Jack Nicklaus's course that he made for the Canadian Open about 35, 40 years ago. At Glen Abbey in outside Toronto. Where would you like to go from here, Tom?
Well, Tim? I want to go. I want to ask. Do you get more in golf?
Well, I just want to make a mention. I was with a buddy of mine this weekend, and he's a frequent golfer, and he cited your column. We were having a discussion, and he cited your column that he had read something in it, and I can't recall right at the moment what it was, but I just wanted you to know that you are well read, even among my friends.
That feels like sounds like a backhand compliment.
No, he's a pretty good golfer, so I mean, he knows what he's doing as opposed to me, who, you know, they have to point me in the right direction.
Oh, man.
Well, it's fun to write about people. As you guys know, I love to write my columns on golfers and things about golf that involve people, not nondescript stuff. And I did write last weekend about the amazing Rourke family of Danvers, really. Kathy Rourke, Natalie, who's the Masconomet boys, or the Masconomet golf team coach, boys and girls can play, of course, and she's a former WGAM Keys Cup winner. She just won her ninth WGAM mother-son title. She has two sons who are now both adults, Aiden and Colin, and she teamed up with Colin last week,
2 weeks ago, I guess it is.
Yeah, that's who I was referring to last week, Gary, that I had seen in the paper.
Yeah, exactly, and it's an amazing thing. She's been winning these mother-son age division titles, and now she's won two overall titles, one each with Aiden and with Colin, but she's won nine of these in the last about 10 years, 11 years, and she's been quite an accomplished player on her own, and now with her boys, and of course it all comes from her father, who's Tom Rourke, a noted player from Ferncroft, and one of the top four-ball players, invitation four-ball players we've had around here the last 25, 30 years, and of course her brother, Tom's son, Kevin, also on the same day that Kathy and Colin won their mother-son title, statewide title, Kevin and his 9-year-old son Ian won the 12 and under division at the very popular 99th annual Winchester father-son tournament. So, pretty good day for the Rourke family, and then no one's prouder than the old man Tom, who's 79 and can still break 80, and still loves to walk and carry his own bag for 18 holes. Oh, so,
I really enjoyed reading that column again. I'm going, my God, these guys must have a separate building to house all the trophies and awards that they've won collectively. It's amazing.
Yeah, they've done very well. There's a lot of families like that around. We talk about the Turners, you know, the two Turner brothers, and Charlie, someone I haven't mentioned. I did mention Charlie May, his brother, is also a good player. And families, golf's a family game, boys, girls, men, women, and some are just more golf-oriented than others, and the Rourkes are certainly one of those that stands out beyond them all. Now, Tim, you're thinking at all about the PGA Championship in 2 weeks, and who might win that?
Oh, it's been such an up and down year this year for so many guys. Is it Spieth? Is he getting into a groove now? You're going to have a lot of people. Rory McIlroy, read today, he fired his longtime caddy. You know, does this sort of juice him up to make a run to sort of come back from kind of really disappointing performances? Nobody, to me, really has dominated this particular season. It's probably a crapshoot. What do you think?
It is, and then of course you may remember that Spieth did something. He broke a streak, which had been going, I think, for 13 or 14 major championships. They had all been won by first-time major winners, and of course Spieth broke that streak when he won his third major before he even turned 24. Of course, Garcia won his first major at the Masters. Brooks Koepka won his first major at the U.S. Open. And now we're going to wonder and see if either McIlroy McIlroy can't do it till the Masters next year, but Spieth could now become the youngest player ever to win the Grand Slam of golf if he could somehow put together the PGA Championship for a win after doing it at the Open Championship a couple of weeks ago.
You know, it's. I know we've talked about this before, Gary, but looking at all like 13 first time winners in the majors, and is it the equipment that is really leveling the playing field for a lot of these younger guys coming up that are allowing them to compete on a par with the more established guys, and is there less intimidation or fear of some of these older, more well-known and established players? In the past, you had the big names, and boy, they performed on the big stage, and you had some rising stars come up, against Arnie and Jack, and when you had Watson coming up, and a lot of these other guys in the 70s through the 80s, and they just stayed established for a long time, and these were your consistent winners. But now, and like you said, in the last few years, you've got a lot of younger guys been in good physical shape, but has their equipment elevated their game to the point where they don't fear anybody?
Well, I think all of your questions, I think the answers are yes. There's so many factors involved, but the biggest factor is there are so many more opportunities for players to succeed on different mini tours, and we've got the web.com, and I mean, you see how the level of play, just as I say, at the Massachusetts Amateur Championship, but even the Massachusetts Open, there's so many more players out there who can do it. And I think all those reasons that you illuminated are all accurate and all true. And that's, you get unknown guys every year popping up to winning. And there's just so many more of them. And it's continuing. And it looks like, who knows whether we'll have another first-time winner at the PGA at Quail Hollow or not. But there's so many more guys who can win. Simple as that, just as you said.
Gary, you've written so much stuff, you know, in the paper and in books and in magazines and periodicals about golf and schools in the area. If someone were coming to the area and wanted to start reading about the history of either golf or sports teams or schools like the prep, and you're the man to go to, what would you recommend? What's your favorite thing to get started with in terms of prepping people about the history of sports around here?
That's a tough question. There are several ways of looking at that, but I've almost stumped me.
Well, I'm talking about your stuff. What do you like the best? What's your favorite stuff? And you know, because you have a passion for it, Gary. And obviously, you know, you've developed the research techniques. You've talked to people. You put dialogue in your writings, and you've got the setting and the logic and everything else. So where would one start if I wanted to read about getting started around here?
I think your libraries are a good starting point. And of course, old newspapers.
Gary, hold on, stop. I'm talking about your writing. I want to read you. I want to go back to where you started. I want to read about the stuff you wrote because you're the guy who's been there.
Well, I think you have to look at my website, GaryLarrabee.com.
There we go.
You'll see where I've taken this new career, I guess you could say, and it's been a lot of fun, and that's probably the best way. GaryLarrabee.com. It's been fun writing about obviously golf primarily, but also institutions and history is just fantastic. And if you don't have history, guys, you lose it. And if you don't record it properly, and thankfully I've had a lot of support in seeking these avenues for years and. I think it's just an obligation of ours. It's a responsibility. Someone has to do this. Someone has to put, you know, how would we know about Julius Caesar? How would we know about King Tutankhamun over there in Egypt? How would we know about all this stuff going back even to the Bible, guys, even before the Bible? How would we know all this stuff if there wasn't some form and some people who had the spirit of recording all the stuff that took place? And thankfully, there are still people, there have always been people who've done that, and thankfully, we're still doing it today.
I love it. GaryLarrabee.com. Finally, Gary, what you got coming up in the column this week?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about Charlie May, who I just talked about, who has just returned to Elon College from Topsfield, Masconomet, Ferncroft. We had put a terrific four-tournament streak together in 3 weeks. And then went right back to drove up from Elon College, and now he's driving right back down. He seems to have moved his game to a new level, and we're going to write about that this week. A local guy who's worked hard his game and has a potential to make it as a playing professional. That's his ultimate goal. But he's going back to Elon College for his graduate year. He has one more year of eligibility at Elon College, and he hopes to at this time next year have turned pro and starting to be one of those 10,000-15,000 who wants to make his name for himself on the PGA Tour.
Should be a good read on Friday, Salem News. Gary, thank you so much.
I'm going to put a shameless plug in for Gary.
All right,
the Green and Gold Coast.
Okay.
You want a book where you can digest a lot of information on a lot of different places around the North Shore of golf. That's the book, and that's the one that Gary was so crazy. I bought for a friend of mine a long time ago, long before I knew Gary, because I know my friend was such a golf fanatic.
Yeah.
And that is just such an amazingly entertaining book. So that's what I would suggest someone would go and look at.
Thank you.
Do I get a mention on your website now?
don't go
there. That was a shameless request.
Yeah, I know. Don't go there. Hey, Gary, forget about that. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Good Lord willing.
Have a good week, guys.
Take care, Gary. Gary Larrabee of the Salem, of, well, GaryLarrabee.com. I didn't realize it was Gary Larrabee. But, you know, the stuff that he writes, and I, you know, I'm going to be hosting a course for Endicott in the fall for teachers called Social Media, Fake News, and Credible Sources. That is a credible source. The integrity of journalism, the integrity of teaching history is so important, and getting it right. And Gary is old school journalist. He, you know, gets his sources and he digs and digs and digs and makes sure he's got all the facts and that they are facts before he prints it.
Yeah. In the old days, they called those recorders of history scribes. He is certainly. Well, I'm not saying he's old, but he is certainly a
right,
scribe.
Right. And when certain people talk about fake news, people, I think young folk today and students especially have got to understand what's going on, and hopefully they will, and they'll learn about propaganda, they'll learn about history, and they'll learn about credible sources. But let's not die. We got Nick Kukru coming up. Got to see where Nick's going. This is MSO News Sports, North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, is Bill Proposky, and of course the voice of the North Shore is Bill Newell. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, Nick Kukru is with us now. He is the sports editor of the Daily Times. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
The Gloucester Daily Times, I should say, because there are several Daily Times in the era. Nick, you know, it's funny. You and Tim were just joking about the Red Sox, but I don't want to go too political, and I don't want to get anybody in any hot water, but there's a trend I've noticed in the local papers, the Newburyport paper, the Gloucester paper, and the Salem paper, that there's a lot more Red Sox and Celtic coverage in the paper, and I'm curious, I got to phrase this correctly, you're sort of a one-man sports department, Nick, so you're kind of in a lot of different places at once, and I'm sure that you have to rely on, I don't know, do you rely on Twitter now, because Tim was just talking about Gene DiPlacido tweeting those scores out from the Gloucester Little League, and it was like reading the paper, only real fast.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the social media is, you know, it's been, you know, key for us, you know, especially recently. I mean, because everybody, you know, wants, you know, the gamer out, you know, quickly. You know, you need a little bit of time to write a story after, you know, you go on Twitter or Facebook and get that instant update that that they're looking for, which is really key, especially this weekend with the Little League stuff. And, you know, there was a huge game on Saturday, and, you know, by the time the Monday paper came out, that Saturday game was kind of outdated. So, you know, the web and social media was really the tool to get, you know, all that information across.
Well, I think the Times and the Salem News, of course, with Gene being on hand and you're being on vacation, I got to commend you guys. You did a very, very good job in getting that information out and getting the story out. I mean, Gene had all the details. It reminded me of Ronald Reagan reading the ticker type, you know, the ticker tape, rather, and, you know, broadcasting the game remotely that way. I mean, it was so informative. But also, you know, the Gloucester Times Facebook page, a lot of information came out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Gene's great. I mean, Gene's such a pro. She's been at it for a long time. And I mean,
careful, she doesn't want any kind of yes put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did, and You know, it's quite a run. Now, Nick, have you had a chance to follow up on that? I'm sure there are going to be some features coming up about this team maybe in the future.
Yeah, actually, I have a nice little wrap-up column coming in tomorrow. Unfortunately, I got back from vacation on Saturday afternoon. I'm so wrapped up ready to go to the game against Milton on Saturday because I didn't need to spend. You know, I was kicking myself. I was missing all the good stuff all week. But an incredible run. We'll be wrapping it up in tomorrow's paper, just kind of a look back at some of the highlights. You know, just kind of appreciating. I mean, what they did. I was looking, today through all the districts. I mean, 147 Little League All-Star teams in the state, and Gloucester finished ahead of 146 of them. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I saw some of the games two of the games in the sectionals, Nick, and what impressed me most about those 12-year-olds was the poise that they played with. It was really amazing, and I think it has to probably be a direct correlation to Jared as I watched him manage and coach the team. How level-headed he stayed, not too high, not too low, stayed focused, kept the kids focused, and they just performed mightily.
It's true. I mean, they had so much talent on that team. You could kind of see it coming. I mean, the big one was that epic six-run rally on Saturday. And, once they got a couple hits turned together, you saw, there's nobody out, and the top of the order's coming up. They really might do this here. And they did. It was unbelievable. And, I was really impressed with that. Jared Lucido, I mean, he hit a huge walk-off. I mean, absolute bomb. I think it might have been one of the furthest hits I've ever seen a Little League kid hit. I mean, the second to come off the bat, everyone's jaw kind of dropped. It was so unbelievable. And he was as calm, cool, and collected as it gets through the whole thing. He didn't get too high, he didn't get too low. It was unbelievable. You definitely have to tip your hat to Jared Harwood and his assistants, Wayne Morris and Tom Abbott. They seem to push all the right buttons. I mean, it's not just, getting the team in the right mindset, but, in Little League Baseball, as we all know, you have to do a lot of managing with substitutions, pitch counts. I mean, there's a lot of ways where a manager can kind of get in the way and kind of screw things up a little bit, and they didn't do that at all. They had a firm grasp of all the rules. They knew what they were doing in every situation. It was impressive to watch.
You know, on the way to the regionals, I noticed that the field, the Little League field on Western Avenue at night was jam-packed during the tournament, and people were coming from out of town. There were tremendous crowds there, and that is an absolutely gorgeous field.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I'd like to see them maybe host a sectional or something like this. I know everyone thinks Gloucester at the end of the year, so I can sympathize with that. But they hosted the district games. There were teams from all over the district playing there, and those games draw. I mean, it's a good product. They're all-star players, from international tournament. So it's just a great product overall.
Well, we're rolling into August, and people are talking high school sports already, and mm-hmm. I know there'll be a new athletic director. I'm pretty sure I heard that in Saugus. They're looking for a new athletic director. There has been a little bit of a turnover around here. I'm understanding that Coach Zerilli is looking for some help in Gloucester football. So it's sort of like the calm before the storm, isn't it, Nick? You getting ready?
It is. It's like these 3 weeks. I mean, I'm thankful that Little League team got me through the whole month of July, which the summer can be kind of dead, and they've given me a great product for a whole month, and now it gets to that kind of little 3 week lull before the high school start up, and I can't wait. I think it should be a really interesting high school season. I know, on the football side, I know a lot of teams graduated a lot of talented players. So there's going to be a lot of new faces in the NEC this year, which I think is going to make for a real exciting season.
Well, I'm going to rely on you a lot. I'm not sure where Coach Ingram is going to be. I don't know if he's going to be up in the press box with us or not. But Nick, how and I don't want you to get in trouble or give away the farm here, but where you're so understaffed in local sports, how are you going to cover? How are you going to cover everything? Because you got four schools to cover and all the sports in each school.
Yeah, I manage. I find a way. It gets tough, especially, last spring it got really difficult. There's a lot more teams in the spring, and all of them were good this past spring. So that kind of led to a few dilemmas. But, I get by as I can. I know Albie Mitchell helps me out every once in a while. He does an excellent job. He'll be doing a lot of Manchester Essex football coming up in the fall.
Okay.
And you know, I just go with what I can get to.
Does Marissa does Marissa show a picture of you to the kids so they know who their dad is?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it's a good thing you love it, and it's a good thing you got a loving family who understand how much you love it, because you do a great job, Nick, and I know that some nights are tougher than others, but, man, it's outstanding. I'm looking forward to what's coming up this week, and anything else you want to promote that's coming up this week in the paper?
Well, we got actually to take a little closer look at, you know, speaking of high school football, we're going to take a look at, you know, both the Gloucester and Manchester Essex schedules, who, you know, who they got. Gloucester's schedule is very different from what it has in the past. There's a lot of new teams in there. And Manchester Essex has a couple intriguing games, too. And then, you know, at the end of the week, through the weekend, the ITL playoffs start. And, you know, Manchester Essex Mariners won 5 in a row. They're going for 6. And the Rockport Townies are good, too. They're on a roll right now. So they'll both be in the playoffs. And the ITL playoffs is always great. Just a great league with a bunch of local athletes still going at it.
Absolutely.
It's nice to see two of the best teams on Cape Ann.
Okay. Well, you're going to be a busy man. Once again, it looks like it's going to be fun following the papers. So, you know, drink plenty of water. Make sure you hydrate, Nick, and we'll see you at the fields.
Exactly. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, Nick. Thanks so much.
See you, Nick.
Thanks.
Take care. That's Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times, and like the other sports writers in the area, the other newspaper writers, really, even the reporters, they are flat out, man.
So much to cover.
They are on the road, and I hope local folk understand it, because it's not like the paper used to be. You know, back when I was a kid, the paper was fully staffed. I think they had, they had Doc Enos and two or three writers. Bill Cahill was one of them, and they had all kinds of sports writers, all kinds of, and Doc double-teamed. He was also a news writer as well. He was a court writer, but different days today, and plus with all the stuff you've got on social media, man, it's... it ain't easy for those guys, and plus, we're trying to compete, you know, on a different level. We're trying to do what we can do as well. Anything else, Coach, last couple minutes?
Go Red Sox. I can't wait for football to start, I'll tell you.
You know something.
Did you see Bill Belichick's response to the guy who, after the first day of practice, goes, Coach, what did you think about this player here? And he went into this long, lengthy explanation of how we got established some of the best talent evaluators and da-da-da. He just went on and on, and it just dripped of sarcasm. Like,
oh, I like it when
he said, they haven't had pants on
yet. I liked
yet.
It when he said, well, you know, I'm not that good at evaluating on the first day, but I know you are. Other people are much better at it than I am because they let it be known.
Oh, my God. It just went on. And you can tell the veteran guys are going, oh, he's just raking this guy over
well,
the
balls. He's in full my favorite, there's someone, one of the sports channels, there's a promo for the upcoming season, and there's this rah-rah, bang-bang stuff, and Edelman, and Brady, and Gronk, and everybody's excited. Yeah, the Patriots. And then they cut away to Bill Belichick. We haven't done a thing. We haven't accomplished a thing. It's a long way to go. And he said, and it's like just down, you know.
Oh, yeah. Again, last year is last year. There's a whole new year. This is what we're focused on. You know, it's been like a millennium since they won the Super Bowl.
I must tell you, I watched the second half again last night. And I fell asleep right after the regular play during the, you know, before the overtime. What am I trying to say? Yeah, the, you know, before time. The last touchdown of regulation, and so I got to watch that. But I watched the whole thing over again last night, and it's no less thrilling than it was in February.
I started to watch it last week, week and a half ago. It was on, and I decided to tell. And I'm watching the first half, and I'm going, why am I bothering to watch this?
I just want the second half.
I'm just going to go to the second half, and I'll watch that at some point. So that's
and I'm looking with 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's still 28-9.
Yeah.
And then it rolls over into the fourth quarter, and 2 or 3 minutes in, they just had a field goal. And it's like, did they really do this? I got to see this whole thing, because I'm not sure they really did this.
Yeah. One thing need to mention is a thank you to Rob Ninkovich for his time with the Patriots, who
he's getting on at the right time,
who demonstrated commitment, class, poise, determination, all the characteristics you would want and expect of a professional athlete.
Teamwork,
you got
intelligence
from that guy there, who played bigger than his size, like a Teddy Bruschi, you know, linebacker size, came here unheralded, nobody knew who he was, a pickup from Miami. and he just grew bigger and bigger as the years went on. Like, I mean, Brewski was a number one pick.
I still,
but it was like he grew into what he was.
I still remember Nitwit Radio talking about how can they ever win with these linebackers like Ninkovich. I'll never forget that. And that was it was like, do they have any of that? You know, it's just so silly. But yeah, I'm going to miss him. I thought he was tremendous. Wearing number 50, he was in the mold of Mike Vrabel. He was a clone of Mike Vrabel the way he played. Didn't have as many touchdowns.
You know, the amazing thing, they said, from 2001 to 2016, two guys wore number 50.
Number 50.
And can you think of two
they wore it well.
Better linebackers? Nope. Then Vrabel.
Same mold.
And Ninkovich.
Same mold.
You know?
Yeah, it is fun seeing these guys getting ready for the season. And
and they showed the picture. They had a picture the other day online. It was Belichick sitting on the floor out in front of him. Sitting on the floor while he was making the announcement and making the comments with the biggest, sincere smile. What is it? It was a smile on his face. As he watched Ninkovich make the announcement, he was so happy for this guy. You know, he gave it his all, and he's 33, almost 34. So and he was looking at the end of the line. They brought some younger linebackers in, reduced play. The big fear about the concussion syndrome now. You know, he's going out. He's healthy. He's made money. You know, his family is going to be comfortable. He can turn now to a coaching job. Somewhere or to some other aspect, and you know, a guy like him has prepared for post football life. You know, he's going to walk away and into the football coaching ranks or another profession and do well there. But again, you have to say thank you for what he brought to the team,
Mr. Steady. All right, Coach, thank you for being here tonight. We'll be back next Monday. On behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.